kids may be out there in the hallway and driving adults crazy, so we're going to get them in here. So we are thankful to be here this morning. I'm thankful for each and every one of you that's come out this morning. I don't know if there's any visitors, but welcome to Gold Town Church. Do what he asked you to do, and you'll be blessed when you leave here always, always that. And I'm thankful. I really feel good this morning. Greg, thank you. As a powerful Sunday school lesson this morning, I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it, and I'm thankful for that. Now, I got one announcement here. We'll get out of the way. We'll get them kids in here. After we got some need some offering help, too, this morning for young people. So Trunk or Treat is Wednesday night, October 23rd, 7 o'clock. Volunteers are needed to donate trunks and hand out candy. There is a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board in the back hallway. And if you have any questions, talk to Julie Jarrett, the contact person for this event. And anyone wishing to donate candy can give it to Julie. So this is a powerful thing that people do. They can really, really. Okay. Okay. So if you hadn't seen this, they decorate their vehicles and trunks up like you wouldn't believe. It's a Jesus theme, and they can come up with some pretty good things. They all try to beat the shy ones, I think, every year. But we are thankful for that. Has anybody got a testimony or anything before we get started here? We need to take up offering first. So if I have some young people, I think she said she had two young people involved right here to do it. I need two more young people. Come here, Raylan. I'll get her. All right, I got them. Thank you, youngins, very much for doing that. Okay? All right. Wait just a minute now. Steve Tencher, pray for the offering. Miss Koontz is going to play for us for the offering. Thank you.
Perfect in all of your ways. You are
My, aren't we blessed?
Yes.
Now, I want to make sure you know that if you want to hear the older ones, you need to be here tonight. The older ones are singing tonight, and that'll be a wonderful blessing there, too. I did forget to make one announcement. There will be no board meeting this month. Not much going on, but there will be a short board meeting after the preaching right up here front, real short. So we'll remember that. Now, anybody got anything else?
I sure am proud of that young man.
Yes, Timmy. Bless you.
That's awesome. That's awesome. But, you know, I like to see the ones that are stepping up to be the leaders.
Yes.
Katie and some of the rest of them. That's pretty awesome. We had a message this morning. Tony talked about winning and how we, you know, with our relationship with Christ and what we want in our family and this and that. I got to tell you, they all look like they're doing a good job to me.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Anyone else? All right, Trent. It's up to you, buddy.
Good morning. A little bit under the weather this morning, so if you hear me sniffing and coughing a little bit, just I'm trying not to do it in the mic. But I've been enjoying the weather. I guess it's where the weather changing. It's got a little bit of a cold, but I can't believe it's already almost November. This year's flown by. And speaking of November, you guys ever heard of No Shave November before? Well, I can't grow a beard, first of all. But my classmates have tried to convince me to grow a mustache in November. So I haven't made up my mind, but if you see that, I know it's going to look bad, but they may convince me to follow through with it just for fun. So anyways, this morning we're talking about, you know, the past few Sundays we've been doing a series of Back to the Basics, and the five series was attendance, prayer, studying the Word, listening to God, and then worshiping God. That's kind of a five basics that we're trying to get back to. And if you think about it, studying the Word and everything is kind of a foundation, really, to teach you about all those things. And then it's as I was trying to prepare this message, of I was studying the Word to preach about studying the Word. It's pretty much, it was kind of interesting, and this message, of all the messages I've preached before, this is, or studied for, this is probably the one that I could have went on for hours and hours and hours of stuff about how studying the Word and how this, God's Word is important. There's so many different things that you can find, and so if I'm a little bit long-winded today, or I talk a long time, I'm usually not, but this is the message that can turn into that. And I think the pastor set me up for that. They started picking which ones that they were gonna do, and then it just happened to fall that I get this one, you know. So I don't know if they knew that I would that it was gonna be the longer one, and they said, well, if we're gonna make the congregation mad at anybody, let's put it on Trent. So. And since it's Pastor Appreciation Month, then they gave it to me to get mad at, I guess. That's exactly what happened, too, I'm telling you. No. All right, so what is the first thing I want to talk about is, there's three different sections, is what is the Word and what it does for us. The second is how should we read the Word. And then the third thing is, why should we read the Word? And so first thing, you know, what is the Word and what it does for us? So, how many books are in the Bible? 66. How many writers are in the Bible? Approximately around 40, maybe a little more. Sometimes we don't know exactly who wrote some of them. It's a little over 40. And then how many authors are there? One author, and who's that? God, Jesus, Well, I'll move on. I was going to say something, but I'll say that for a little bit. So 66 books, over 40 writers, one author. I'll just go ahead and say it now. What is the uniting, kind of binding factor of the Word of God? What is it that kind of binds it all together and unites it all? It's Christ. If you guys, I told you guys to bring your Bibles this morning. I'm going to be going through a lot of different scriptures, and I just think it'd be more meaningful to you guys, especially if we're talking about studying the Word and how it can help us, is if you guys can see these scriptures that I'm reading for yourselves, and you guys can see it yourselves, and it kind of makes more of an impact that way. And that's kind of also another way of getting back to the basics is bringing your Bibles to church. So if you guys would go and turn to John chapter 1, and I thought about yesterday when I was studying this, I thought about getting one of those special little PowerPoints ready for you guys with the verses all on it. And I thought, if I do that, they won't look it up. So I'm going to try to make you guys look it up. And I didn't mark any of my verses in here, so that way I'm searching for them just the same that you guys are, so we'll be all on the same page. So John chapter 1, verse 1. And it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So, who is the Word? In this, it's Jesus. Jesus was with God in the beginning, and it says, "In the beginning was the Word." So, in the beginning was Christ, and the Word was with God. So, Christ was with God, and the Word was God. So, Christ is God. So, and then if you move down to 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And we know that was Christ when he came down to earth to live with us. So the Word in this is talking about Christ. And so Christ is the Word. Christ is what kind of binds the whole, all the scriptures, kind of unifies all the scriptures together. And then, so the Word is also inspired. If you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and 2 Timothy talks a lot about reading the scriptures and studying and what it can do for us. Found that out while I was studying for this. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." So in the beginning it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So the Word is inspired by God. And if we know it's inspired by God, and I was trying to think about what does it mean to be inspired? And I was thinking about, from a medical standpoint, inspiration, expiration, breathing in, breathing out. I guess that maybe that's obviously not what this term of inspiration means. But if you think about inspiration medically and you're breathing in, if you think about the Word, if it's inspired by God, it's God putting his thoughts and his words into it. So he's kind of breathing into it, just like you're breathing in the medical field, inspiration. So he has inspired the Word. This is his thoughts. This is his words that somebody has written down, and he kind of put his thoughts and words into them to write. So it's inspired by God. And then the next thing, the Word is, it is truth. So if you turn to Psalms chapter 119, verse 160, that's a lot of verses in this chapter, Psalms 119. And for all the pioneers in here, pioneers class students from Wednesday night, what is Psalms 119:105? We had to memorize this a lot. Does somebody want to say it? Thy word is the lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path. That was the motto? Was that what it was? Our Pathfinder's motto. We said that before class every week back when I was in Pioneers. So Psalms 119:160. And it says, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." So it tells us the Word is true. And that's important because, and for the next thing, is that the Word sets us free. And if we turn to John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32... In John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, it says, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So it's important, in Psalms it said that the word is true from the beginning, and then now Christ is saying here that the truth shall set you free. And I've heard that in the past, and I don't really necessarily understand exactly what that meant, so I was kind of looking into it. And if you think about it, technically, if we had never had the Bible, or if we had never had anything, we would have not known what is good or bad. We would not know what is right, what is wrong. And if we just relied on our own understanding, we still would always live with that feeling of, I don't know, really know if this is right or wrong, because we never had nothing to tell us that. But if we know that the word is the truth, and that this is telling us it is true, and this tells us what's right and wrong, that sets us free. We don't have that feeling of, I don't know what's right and wrong. And that deception of Satan's going to try to tell you this is right. Or maybe we'll try to tell ourselves that this is right. And that can kind of bind us down. If we have the truth of the word telling us what's right and wrong, that kind of sets us free from those feelings of not knowing what's right and what's wrong. Because the word is true and it tells us. So we know what is right and what is wrong. And that sets us free from those deceptions that Satan might try to throw at us and try to get us to live the wrong way. So then the next thing that the word does, it produces faith. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, you guys can turn there. It says, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And again, I thought, I've heard that before, and I kind of wanted to kind of, you hear it, and then the preacher, sometimes the preacher will say it, and then he'll kind of use it in his interpretation, and I was just kind of wanting to know myself, how I kind of read that, and what it meant to me. And so if you think about, how can faith be produced by hearing the word? What is in the word? The word has stories of history and things that God has done, things that God's done for people. It shows God's miracles, people He's protected, things that people He's brought people through. So when we hear all that and we read all that and we see that God did this for this person, He protected this person, He healed this person, and that we know, if we see that He did that for them, then we know that He can do that for us. And when we read all that in the Word, that produces faith for us, because we see what He's done, we see what He can do for us, and that grows our faith. And that grows our faith into saying, God can do that same thing for me. So that's how faith can cometh by hearing of the Word, because the Word talks about all those things that God has done for people throughout history. So that produces that faith for us and allows our faith to grow from hearing all of that. And then, so it produces faith. And then it also, it judges us. And that one can hurt sometimes. Sometimes we don't like that. Sometimes we do like that. Sometimes we do want to know if we're doing something right or wrong. So if you go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. I'm not hearing too many people turn. I think you guys gave up on me. I don't blame you. All right, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So, it says there, it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So, if we don't know, it judges our heart. If we're doing something maybe we shouldn't be doing, then we get into the word. The Word tells us what is right and what is wrong, and it doesn't change. So we can kind of judge our hearts compared to what the Word says, and if it doesn't line up, then it's kind of discerning that we're not where we need to be. Our intentions and thoughts aren't aren't where it should be. So it can judge us in that way. So then the next thing is, so just to recap all that, what is the Word, what it does? And there's multiple things. I just picked out some of the major points. But so it's inspired, it's the truth, sets us free, it judges us, produces faith. And that's just a few of the many things that the Word can do for us. So the next thing would be, you know, how should we read the Word? Do you guys have any thoughts on that? Do you guys have any things you guys would like to say on how we should read the Word?
Expecting.
Expecting what? God to lead us. So for me, this is just... Everybody, I would say everybody sits down and reads the Word in their own form and fashion. But I think the most important thing that we should all do when we sit down and read the Word, if you turn to John chapter 16, verse 12 and 13. John chapter 16, verse 12 and 13. It says, and this is Christ talking here, he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. How by when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you unto all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So, we've got to pray that the Holy Spirit will guide us. When we want to get sit down and read the Word, it can be tough to understand sometimes if we're not led by the Holy Spirit. So we've got to pray that before we sit down and read the Word, that the Holy Spirit will guide us in our reading. And when we read the Scriptures, that He will allow us to understand what we're reading or guide us to the right Scriptures that we'll be able to apply it in our lives. The Holy Spirit is what helps us to understand what the Scripture means. And just to kind of get that interpretation from these verses, in verse 12 it says, Christ is telling them, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. So he's saying, there's a lot of things that I have to say, but you're not going to understand them right now. And then, so then in verse 13, he says, how about when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. So he's telling them, the Holy Spirit will help you understand these things in the future. That you won't understand them now. If I try to tell you now, you won't understand it. But the Holy Spirit will help you with that and help you understand that. So, it's the same for us. We want to sit down and read the Word. We need the Holy Spirit to help us understand that and help us to understand what we're reading. And the next thing will be is to figure out how the Scriptures that we're reading is how that applies to our life. And sometimes that can take some thought. You know, it's not just always going to be hit. God's just not always just going to hit us right in the head with what we're reading in these Scriptures and how we can use that in our life. Sometimes we got to think, you know, what's going on in my life right now and what's going to be going on in my life in the future, and what have I been through, that this Scripture can mean something to me, because how I can apply that in my daily life. And if we struggle with that, which sometimes it can be tough to find that application, the Holy Spirit will help us. We have to pray. I know when I sit down, this is my method. When I sit down to study for a message, I sit down and I have my Bible closed, and I'll just lay my head down on the Bible and I'll start to pray. And that sounds dumb, but it just feels like I'm close to the Word, you know. And I'll just pray that the Holy Spirit will guide my thoughts and just whatever verses I read, whether the verse that I read first is the verse for the message, or if that verse leads me to a verse for the message, or if that verse leads me to a verse for the message, whatever it is, just give me the verses that's going to lead me to whatever messages that God would have me to give. And I'm always saying that to say that it happens, it works every time, that God pulls through for me every single time. The Holy Spirit guides me every time I sit down to study. The Holy Spirit comes through and leads me and guides me. And so I'm just saying that to confirm to you guys that when Christ is saying here that the Holy Spirit will guide us and help us to understand the truth, that's 100% correct. That I've seen it firsthand in my life. When I sit down to study the Word, if I pray for the Holy Spirit to guide me, He pulls through and he guides me in my studies, and I'm thankful for that, and it's an awesome thing to experience. When you sit down and you pray for God to guide your eyes and to guide your thoughts, and when you read, it's amazing what these scriptures can show to you and reveal to you for what God would have you to do in your life and how it can apply in your life. So, what is it? He's a teacher, exactly. The words are there, and sometimes we can't understand. Sometimes it's not easy for us to understand. But it's like if we're in math class and you can see a bunch of fractions on the board. If you have a good teacher, he'll be able to go through each one of these and explain it to you, and it all makes sense. And that's just like the Holy Spirit. He's a teacher to us. When we sit down, this can look pretty scary. The words in the scriptures, because sometimes it doesn't make sense. But if the Holy Spirit is a good teacher, and He will allow us to once He starts talking to us, leading us, it all starts to make sense. And it's a wonderful thing. I'm thankful that we have the Holy Spirit to kind of guide us. Exactly. That's exactly Psalms 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto our path. And that was our pioneer motto.
But you have to be the willing vessel to listen.
Exactly. So, you know, we have to, we can't just say, pray to the Holy Spirit, lead us, and then expect Him. We have to be listening for that guidance and for that. And that's one of the back to the basics messages. I don't know who's doing that one, Jimmy or Rob. That listening to God, listening for that for the Holy Spirit to guide us. And the scriptures talks about that too. The scriptures literally talk about anything we need in our Christian life, and it'll teach us about it. So, anyways, let's move on. We've got to ask the Holy Spirit for help. We've got to kind of think about, sometimes we have to think about the context around the scriptures. If we're not understanding it, we need to rely on the Holy Spirit, but sometimes we've got to put in a little bit of work into it too. Sometimes we've got to read the scriptures around it, read the context, think about our life, what's going on in our life that this can apply to. And then if we do all that, if we put in the work, the Holy Spirit will help put in the extra work to make us understand it. So then the last section, final section, why should we read the Word? What all can it do for us? What is it going to help us with? If you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Actually, first, sorry, Psalms 119. Again, Psalms 119, verse 19. So Psalms 119, verse 19 says, I'm a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. And that's kind of back to what I was saying in the beginning. You know, we are strangers on the earth. If we never had the scriptures to tell us what is right and wrong, we're strangers on this earth. We wouldn't know. We would have no idea if we're living the right way or the wrong way. We wouldn't know what's right or wrong. So we need this scripture to tell us that, because we're strangers to this earth, as it says there, and we had no direction on where to go, what to do. We'd have none of that. But thankfully, we have the scripture. If you look at in verse 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, light unto my path." So we're strangers on this earth. If we didn't have the word, we're strangers. We had nowhere to go. We wouldn't know where to go, what to do, what's right, what's wrong. But thankfully, the word is a lamp unto our feet. It tells us where to go, and it's a light unto our path. You know, it shows us the way. It shows us what's right and what's wrong. That's one reason that we should read the scriptures, is because if we rely on ourselves, we have no idea what's right, what's wrong. But if we have the truth, the scripture, it'll confirm that for us, what is correct and what is wrong, and how we should live our life. And then Deuteronomy chapter 32. I've only got a few more left to read. Deuteronomy chapter 32, and this is kind of the scripture that kind of got me started for this message on Wednesday night. Charlie was teaching, and I don't think he had anything. I don't think he mentioned Deuteronomy at all, but somehow I stumbled upon it, and the Holy Spirit led me to it. And so, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 46, it says, and this is Moses talking to the people. He says, and he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do, all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land, whether ye go over Jordan to possess it. So, he's telling them about the the laws that they have and the scriptures that they had at that time. And he's telling them that it's not a vain, it actually says in verse 47, for it is not a vain thing for you. So vain meaning it's useless, worthless. He's saying it's not a useless thing for you because it is your life. And when I saw that, I was like, wow. And that's so true that the scripture, it basically is our life. It tells us everything we need to know for our life. It tells us what we need, how we should be doing things, and literally in any aspect of our life, we can look through the scriptures and find that guidance that we need. So I thought that was a pretty profound statement that he said there. Moses said there that it is your life, and then he also says that they should pass it on to their children, and that's important too because what's going to guide kids more? What type of guidance should we be providing our kids more than what the scriptures tell us to do? That's the best guidance we can give. So that way we know that if kids are following the scriptures, that they're following in the right way. And that's what we should want most. So we got to pass the word to the kids. And then it says that it's not a vain thing for us to study the scriptures. It is useful and that it is our life. And I thought that was, I don't know why that verse stuck with me, but to think about the scriptures being our life, I thought that was a pretty profound thing of Moses to say. That's just how useful it is to us and how it tells us really how to live and it's a guide to us. So then I was thinking about our back to the basics, attendance, prayer, studying the word, listening to God, listening for God's voice, and then praising and worshiping God. And I was like, well, if you read the scriptures, it'll teach you that you should be attending church. It'll teach you how to pray. It'll teach you that you should be listening for God's voice. It'll teach you that you should be praising and worshiping Him. So really the foundation to get back to the basics is reading the Word, because then it'll teach you how to do all the other things. So for attendance, I just kind of wanted to do one verse in each of these, and hopefully I'm not getting ahead of anybody for the next two messages, but it's just one verse for attendance is Psalms 122, verse 1, and it's whenever David's saying, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And what does it say? What does the Bible say about David that it says that he was a man after God's own heart, right? So if he's a man after God's own heart and it made him happy to go into the house, it made him glad to go into the house of the Lord. If he's a man after God's own heart, then that would tell me that it makes God happy when we go into the house of the Lord. If it made David happy and he's after God's own heart, then it will make God happy if we're in the house of the Lord and worshiping Him. So we should be attending church. It makes God happy. It made David happy. It should make us happy to be able to come to church. And then prayer. So Matthew, let's go ahead and turn to this one. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. And this is talking about, and this is the Lord's Prayer. So you guys probably already know this without even turning to it. But you guys can look at it anyways. In verse 9 through 13, after this manner, therefore, and this is Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. And after this manner, therefore, pray ye. So Christ is telling them, you know, an example of you know, how to pray. He says, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So, let me ask you guys this. Is there a wrong way to pray? And a lot of times we say no. And in a way, there isn't a wrong way in how you pray, but there is a wrong way in what you're praying about. Because if we're only praying for ourselves and everything that we want, and give me this, Lord, give me this, Lord, give me this, you know, that's not what prayer is about. And he tells us here, this is why he gives us an example of how we should be praying. So if our prayers are all about us, and give us this, you know, that is the wrong way to pray. But our prayers, and this is something I'm kind of passionate about, but Christ says here, and he says it multiple times in his prayers, he says in verse 10, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. So, it's not about what we want when we pray. And that's hard to hear sometimes, because when we pray for a situation, we say, you know, we want to get what we want out of it, right? But, and a lot of people, you know, they don't like to hear that, but really, we should be praying in a situation, whether we want this to happen or not, it's really about ultimately what God wants to happen, is what we should want to happen. And I know some people, they really don't like to hear that. I've heard people argue with me about it. They don't like to hear that because, and one of them, I heard somebody say in the past when I was talking about it, I heard somebody say, well, why would I even pray then if I can't pray for what I want? And I thought, is that really what our prayers are all about? You know, is that really what our prayers are all about? Is all about us? And it's not. It's our prayers are, and I hope I'm not going on a tangent here, but our prayers are what God wants. We should be talking about, God, what is your will in this situation? Show me what your will is in this situation, and not what about what I want. So a lot of times another example is when Christ was in the garden talking about before he was going to the cross. Or he was about to go through the whole process of going to the cross. What did he say? He said, please let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not what I want. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. And I think that's sometimes how I'll pray. I'll say, God, this is what I want, and this is what I want to happen in this situation. But if it's not what's best, if it's not what you want, then obviously I want what you want to happen most. And something that can do for us, because if we pray that, if you think about it, if what happens from that situation, if what comes out of that is not what we wanted, but we prayed, God, your will be done in this situation, then no matter the outcome, if it's what we wanted or not, we can be assured that it's what God wanted to happen, because we prayed for that to happen. We prayed that God's will be done. And if it's not what we want, there's a comfort in that to say, I know this isn't what I wanted, and that can be disappointing, but I know this is what God wanted to happen. And that's encouraging to know there's something good going to come out of this. So I don't know if that makes any sense, but if we pray more what God wants and not what we want, then no matter the outcome, we can be encouraged by that outcome because we know that it's what He wanted, and that's going to be, that's just an assurance that we have, and that we can be confident no matter the outcome, this is what God wants, and something good is going to come out of it. Even if it's somebody that we're praying about that has cancer, or something like that, or a sickness, and we're saying, you know, our prayer, what we want is that person be healed. But then we pray, God, no matter what, though, it's not about what I want, it's your will, whatever your will is in this situation. And then that person, perhaps, will say they don't get healed and they pass away. And that can be sad to us if we only prayed what we wanted. If we only prayed to heal them, and then they didn't get healed, that's disappointing to us. But if we prayed, God, your will be done in this situation, and then they don't get healed, then we know that God had a reason for that, and that somebody in our lifetime, somebody around that person is going to be impacted by that situation. God didn't heal them for a reason, and that something, somebody is going to be affected by that situation. We can be assured in that because it's God's will. And so I know I've rambled on a little bit about that, but I'm passionate about that we pray God's will be done in our lives and in every situation. Just because that assurance that we know, if we pray that the best outcome is going to happen. And because we pray what we want, it's not always going to be the best outcome. Because I don't know if what I want's the best for the situation, you know? Anyways, so and that's just an example of how Christ tells us how to pray. And he mentions it a couple times in his prayers, is that thy will be done. Thy will be done. So that's just one example of Christ, you know, teaching us how to pray. So kind of in a way, there is kind of a right and wrong way to pray. But there's not I wouldn't say that there's no wrong way on how you pray. You can pray however you want to, whatever it's between you and Christ, it's between you and God, you know, how you pray. And that's the most important thing, that you're comfortable and that you're just one-on-one with God. That's what prayer is all about, is just talking to Him one-on-one. But as far as what we pray about, Christ gives us an example for a reason. So the next, back to the basics, was listen. So Jeremiah chapter 33. Verse 3. Let's go ahead and turn there. And it says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So, he says, if you call unto me, I will answer thee. So we need to be listening, right? If we're going to call unto God for something, and we've got to be listening, because he says here that he will answer us. So, and he says he will. He didn't say, I might answer you if I feel like it, or If you have a good question, then I'll answer you. He says, I will answer you. So we have to be listening for that answer because we know it's coming. We know that answer is coming. So that's just another example of back to the basics, listening, that the Word telling us that we've got to listen. And then finally, the back to the basics section was praise and worship. And if you look at Psalms chapter 150, verse 6, let me turn there. It says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So that's just the scriptures telling us if we have breath, we need to be praising God. We need to be praising the Lord. So if we look, that's just a couple examples there, attendance, prayer, listening, praising and worshiping, of how the scriptures is kind of a foundation to teach us how to do all those things. And that's just a few of the things back to the base. That's just the back to the basic sections. But there's multiple things that the scripture can teach us and guide us how to do. So if we really want to get really want to get back to the basics on how to be a Christian and what we should be doing and how we should be living, it's right here. It's all in this. God gave us this for a reason, because He knows that we're, as it said there in Psalms 119, that we're strangers on this earth, that we don't know, you know, the right way, and He gave us this to show us what's right and what's wrong. So if we want to be living our life the right way, This is all we need to tell us that the Holy Spirit's guidance in us reading this Bible to tell us, you know, how we should be living and what we should be doing as a Christian. So, and I know this message for me, it was big for me because I found myself I should be in the Word way more than I am, and I wish somebody else who has studied the Word for way more years than I have would have been able to give this message, because they probably could have had a lot more examples and experience and insight and examples from the Word just from reading it more. But this was for me, that I needed to get back into the Word more. And I know for me, and that's a lot of our issues, is time. We think we don't have time to sit down and get into this, because it does take some time to get our minds ready to read it and for the Holy Spirit to guide us. And I, for me, I wish I could memorize more verses, you know. But I'm studying so much medical stuff all the time, memorizing all the medical stuff. It's like my brain doesn't have room for all this stuff. But I can't wait till I get out of school to where I can, you know, just truly start memorizing and studying better. And I know that's not an excuse. I can truly definitely find time now. If we just have to set that time aside to get back into the Word. It's not, as the Scripture said, it's not vain. There is a purpose in it. It is useful for us to sit down and read these Scriptures. There is use in our life, and we can apply it daily to guide us and help us do the things that we need to do. It can give us direction for our future. It can help us explain things that we've had happen to us in the past. Whatever we need, the Holy Spirit guiding us while we read, the Scriptures can give us. Can give us that direction that we're looking for. So, if they would get a song, the altar's open. I heard somebody say this yesterday. I was helping out a food pantry, and there was a couple preachers there, and they were talking about their churches, congregations, and they said they only had a few people in their services, and they said that somebody asked the pastor why he's using the altar all the time. And he said, it almost as if people think nowadays the only reason you should go to the altar is if you've got as if you're backslidden, or if you've got, you know, something wrong, you know, that's the only reason you should be going to the altar. That's what a lot of people think. And that's just not the case at all. And the pastor, what his words were, and I thought it was interesting the way he said it, he said, I don't go to the altar because I'm backslidden. He said, I go to the altar to keep from backsliding. Or to keep from falling away from God, and that's true. I mean, when we come to the altar, there's just something different about this altar. When you come down here to pray, and you're really bowing down to God, and there's just a connection between you and Him that sometimes you just don't get by at your house or in your seat. So I would encourage you to not look at the altar as something that I know this doesn't necessarily have anything to do with reading and studying the Word, but I would encourage you, especially with revival coming up. Not to be afraid of it. That it's meant to help us. It's meant to help us get closer to God, to where we can pray better than we would if we were just sitting back there or if we were just at our house. It's not meant to make us look bad or make us look like, you know, we're going down the wrong road or something like that. It's meant to help us get one-on-one with God to keep us from going down that wrong road, if that makes any sense. So if you would stand, and as they sing, the altar's open. If you just want to pray, you know, Lord, get me back into the Scriptures. Help give me the guidance that I need in my life. You know, the altar's open for you to just come talk to God, whatever it is that you need. And if you're here this morning and you've never talked to God before and you're not saved, come to the altar. If you want to get to know God, come to the altar. We'll pray with you. We'll talk to you about it. Whatever it is that you need, the altar's open this morning. There'll be people here to pray with you.
Page 51.
Sorry for having you guys flip through all the scriptures like that and so many of them, but since the message is on studying the Word, I figured I should use as many scriptures as I can to kind of prove to us why it can be beneficial and how it can do all these things for us. And if you just read, you know, we can see those things. So does anybody have anything else this morning before we dismiss?